May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1104. Convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel, for such there is room. Overwhelmed with sorrow for sin will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. 1104.
Read together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture. First, the book of Psalms, number 31. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, the broad house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have privily laid for me. For thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me O Lord God of truth, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, that thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble, and mine eyes consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence, from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, we read from verse 13 to verse 30. John, chapter 19, verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought forth Jesus. He brought Jesus forth and sat down on the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. The writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and my vesture, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Here then, we leave the reading of God's word, and may he bless it to us, and help us now in prayer. Kind and gracious Lord God, it is thy goodness, mercy and kindness that enables us to come and gather together here in thy house this evening hour. We do thank thee, Lord, for all the mercies and favours, blessings bestowed upon us. And we do pray, Lord, we may indeed be helped and blessed of thee to worship thee in spirit and in truth, yea, in the spirit of holiness. We do ask, Lord, for thee to come into our midst. We do ask, Lord, that thou help us to rightly approach unto thee, considering who we are and considering who thou art. For thou art that Holy One, just, holy, righteous, one that does not look upon sin but with abhorrence. And yet, dear Lord, in thy infinite mercy thou hast made a way whereby poor sinners may come, Oh, may we come, Lord, to thee tonight, in and through that precious Son of God, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Indeed, there is no other way. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. But dear Lord Jesus, thou hast said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, Lord, then may we come, may we venture to the throne of grace, to the footstool of mercy, and, oh, to help us to plead the name, the blood, the righteousness, and the finished work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To then come and open the windows of heaven tonight, and pour out a blessing upon us. Oh Lord, again we think of those two on that road to Emmaus. Oh, and our Lord Jesus, thou didst draw near and go in with them at their request and their petition. Abide with us, for the day is far spent. But dear Lord, when thou dost reveal thyself to them, they were on their homeward journey, and they said one to another, and did not our heart burn within us whilst he talked with us by the way? Oh, that there may be a sweet, blessed repetition, a realisation of these things here in thy house this evening hour. So that, Lord, that it's not a poor man that speaks, but that thou wilt use a poor man, an instrument in thy hand, to thine honour, glory and praise. Lord, that sinners may hear thy voice, the voice of the Son of God, that the word may be graciously, blessedly applied to heart and souls by the unction and power of thy Holy Spirit. This is something, dear Lord, that we cannot do ourselves. But, Lord, it is within thy divine power and thy gracious divine ability. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt then hear our prayer and help us this evening hour. Oh, for thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. And, dear Lord, do come and be with us and meet with us here this evening hour. And open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us. Lord, we bow before thee in confession of our sin and iniquity and guilt. Lord, we are verily guilty of many, many sins, if one may be permitted to speak for others. We are verily guilty of so many, many sins. And as one says, here on my heart, Lord, the burden lies, past offences pain my eyes. They pain our eyes, Lord, they pain our heart. Oh, we would be found, Lord, like that dear man in the gospel who smote upon his breast and cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we come to thee, we plead with thee for peace, for pardon, that thou would speak pardon to our heart and souls. Grant us, Lord, that gracious assurance that our names are indeed recorded in some humble place beneath the Lord the Lamb. Dear Lord, do help us each. And we do pray, Lord, that thou indeed fit and prepare us for heaven and for glory. Our Lord, we have to, sooner or later, we have to bid adieu to time and enter upon eternity. But oh, that we may enter into the joy of our Lord. We may enter into heaven. We may hear what dear Abraham's servant heard. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, why standest thou without? Lord, do hear our prayer. Oh, and make us right then. Keep us right, fit, prepare us for heaven and for eternity, to have our names recorded in some humble place beneath the Lord the Lamb, in that Lamb's Book of Life. Do then hear a prayer. Oh, we ask, Lord, and then that thou wilt remember once more and again, Lord, this little church and congregation here. Do bless them together and do bind them together. In love and unity, the bond of peace, make thy goodness pass before them. Be near them, be gracious, be with them, help them, we pray. Abundantly bless, we ask. And we do pray, Lord, that as thy servants come here to minister in thy name, they may be helped to lift up Jesus high on that pole of the gospel, that serpent-bitten sinners may look and live. We do pray thou would indeed send forth the thy word with power and unction of thy blessed Spirit, that may be the means of quickening one another into life. It may be the means of confirming thy people in the way and in the path. That may be comfort and consolation to those that are cast down. Lord, do abundantly bless, we pray. And Lord, we do ask, Lord, then that thou be near to each. We again pray, Lord, for the little ones. Bless them, some of them, Lord, are not with us tonight. They're at home with parents. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them and be very near and gracious to them. Oh, that they may hear, Lord, in the days of their youth, the good word of thy grace. And they may indeed have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, we hope they come willingly to chapel now. And we pray, Lord, that they will ever come willingly. They may ever come, Lord, with a desire to know Christ, to find him, to the joy and rejoicing of their own hearts, and to the honour and praise of thy great and holy name. We do pray that thou wilt, Lord, give them, Lord, that those gracious desires after the things of God. Then be with them. Help them at school. Keep them, preserve them, watch over them. And knowest, Lord, we live in some sad, dark, evil and solemn days. And Lord, we do pray thou remember our children, grandchildren. Lord, and do watch over them, we pray. Oh, Lord, they may be preserved from the many evils which abound in this our day. Lord, our parents thought it was bad when we were at school. Lord, we think it bad now. Lord, and it doesn't get any better. But dear Lord, thou art able. Thou art able, Lord, to turn the tide of sin and iniquity. Thou art able to turn men's hearts from godlessness to God. Thou art able to change men's hearts from idolatry to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Lord, do hear us. Thou knowest, Lord, there's much persecution, Lord, in this world and in our own land. Lord, we do pray thou mercifully arise and appear to us and for us. Lord, to be a Christian today, Lord, is far out of date. Lord, it's old-fashioned. Lord, in fact, Lord, we're called far worse than that. Lord, as thou knowest, Lord, we do plead with thee. Lord, we think of the children of Israel. They were taken into captivity. Oh, Lord, and they were commanded to pray for the peace and prosperity of where they were. Lord, do help us to pray for the peace and prosperity of our land. Oh, and turn our captivity, Lord. Oh, we pray thou raise up for us men of God that fear thy name to rule and reign over us. And that, Lord, these minorities, as they are for the most part, Lord, oh, that their voice may be silenced. Do hear our prayer. Do help us. Lord, we do pray thou wilt remember our Prime Minister, undertake for her, appear to her, Lord, and do grant her that grace to fall upon her knees and ask of thee for all needed wisdom in the affairs of state. Lord, do help. Appear for us then. Lord, we pray for those in sickness and affliction's path, but thy healing hand do heal, do restore, do raise up, do strengthen. For those, Lord, that come bringing their afflictions with them, for those detained in their own home, others may be in hospital or home, we pray that remember. Dear Lord, do remember all in deep trials and troubles and difficulties. Make a way for them. May thy goodness pass before them in the way. Remember those that mourn the loss of near and dear ones, those that have stood around the grave, and those that are yet to stand around the grave. Pray, comfort the mourners. Remember the widows and the widowers. Remember those that have lost mother, father, a brother, a sister, child, the child that's lost the grandchild, the grandparent. Lord, do mercifully appear. Do graciously help, we pray. Lord, and do appear. Lord, and a prayer for Zion, Lord. That thou wilt build up, thou wilt strengthen the things that remain. Pluck out that right hand out of thy bosom and work salvation in our midst, we pray. That there may be many sinners round to come and fill the place. Who they are, where they are, we don't know. But thou knowest, the foundation of God stands sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We plead with thee, Lord, cause our Lord many sinners round to come. But we also pray thou wilt cause prodigals, those that have left and forsaken the house of God, to turn again unto their father's house. Lord, and do hear. Lord, and should there be any found in the house of God tonight that are unconcerned, we pray, Lord, that they may not go home unconcerned even this night. Lord, do send forth thy word, then with power and unction of thy blessed Spirit into the hearts of those assembled. That they none may go home empty, sent away. Pardon then our poor prayers. Make up where we so fail. But Lord, we look to thee, we plead with thee once more, that thou wilt come and fulfil thy gracious word, thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth. Touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. We plead the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
Thank you.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask Your very prayerful attention to Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. I was looking at this word this afternoon and greatly wondering whether this was what I should be taking here tonight by way of a text. When the dear children at the Sunday school then sang this hymn, 282. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is to feed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth it swells the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, the soft, refreshing rain. All good gifts around are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all His love. And it was this latter part here, all good gifts around us, the good seed of the land, it seemed to just confirm that I hadn't chosen this text myself. And why, yes, oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which has wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. In this psalm, why here we find this in verse 2, for an house of defence to save me. Verse 8, set my feet in a large room. Verse 20, in a pavilion. Now, each of those, house, a room, pavilion, has a door. And to open that door, there's a handle, a lock. And to open this text, there is a lock, there's a handle. And as most doors, handle is somewhere in the centre of the door, either left or the right-hand side. And here, there's the handle, the lock, for them that fear Thee. Ah, what a mercy to have and possess the holy fear of God. The fear of the Lord, it keeps us from evil, prospers our way, and is the beginning of wisdom and grace. Friends, there is no entering into heaven without the fear of God. And old as well as younger ones, the Apostle Paul tells us in the Corinthians that we should covet earnestly the best gifts, and truly and surely one of the best gifts that you and I could have and possess is the fear of God. Oh, and the fear of God kept in a blessed, gracious exercise before him will at last land your soul and mine in heaven in glory. Why, in the prophet Malachi we read there, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And then the following verse reads, and they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. Yes, the fear of the Lord. Yes, and again, dear children, younger friends, the fear of the Lord, it is not popular in this present day, in this world. But just remember and read it again at your leisure, what you read there in the book of Nehemiah. Because there, dear Nehemiah, there was much wickedness and much corruption that abounded at that time. And that's certainly so today in your life and mine, all around us. There's much sin and iniquity and certainly much corruption. That you read this. And Nehemiah said, and so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yes, you see, the fear of God keeps us from sinning, will preserve us from sin and iniquity. There are indeed many blessed things written by the Lord in the Word of God regarding those that fear his name. Why, just to turn back here in Psalm 25, it reads like this in the 14th verse, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That is, he will show them, reveal to them, yes, his covenant of love and mercy through our dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And again, one might say, well, how will I know whether I have the fear of God or not? There's a very simple examination for each of us, whatever our age might be. And it's found very descriptive in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, where you read about Cornelius, a leader of the Italian band. And it reads like this, and he feared God and prayed to God always. He feared God and prayed to God always, not just sometimes, not just now and again, not just when he was in trouble, not just when he was in darkness, in distress, not just when he was in affliction's path. He prayed to God always. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, yes, could go on a long while regarding this part of the text, but it seemed to me that here was the key, shall we say, to undo this text of them that feared the Lord. Yes. Why, just another thought comes to mind. Yes, and why, you read of those two on that road to Emmaus, and they truly feared God. They feared the Lord, and their Saviour, their Redeemer, had been crucified. And as they walked and they talked of all the things that happened, but the subject of their conversation was Jesus. The subject of their conversation was Christ. Ah, what manner of conversation do you have one with another and walk and are sad? Ah, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Knowest not thou the things that have happened? What things? Oh, yes, there's Jesus. And we trust in he that shall redeem Israel. And beside this today is the third day since these things were done. Oh, that you may have. Yes, you may have that union, communion, one with another. Yes, that you may walk together in the fear of God. And that your subject will often be Christ. Yes, of what he has done. And to praise and bless his great and holy name for his goodness, mercy, kindness to your poor, never dying soul. Well, let us try and pass on. The dear psalmist says here, how great is thy goodness. Well, that little children's hymn speaks of it all, doesn't it? Regarding the Lord's goodness to us, to every man, woman, and child on this earth. Why, the harvest indeed that has just been gathered in our own land and being gathered in at the present time. Oh, where we thank the Lord for his mercy. Yes, fulfilling his gracious word promise that there should be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, whilst the earth remaineth. But this text, I believe, speaks also, I firmly believe it. Why? It speaks of the glorious things of salvation to and for poor, the dying sinners. The Lord's dear people. It is the Lord's people, because the Lord's people fear his name. Others don't fear his name. The world doesn't fear the name of the Lord. Oh, but God's people do. A people taught by divine grace. Yes. And you say, oh, how great is thy goodness. Well, the Lord has goodness to show unto his people. This thought just comes to mind. There may be some poor, troubled sinner in this chapel tonight. And perhaps you're saying that the Lord has never shown to you any mercy, any goodness. I understand how you feel. Don't misunderstand me. I understand how you feel. But dear soul, you're wrong. You're completely, utterly wrong. The Lord does. At this very moment, he's showing goodness to you. And me, in the fact that we are not where our sins so richly deserve, in hell. Solemn thought, I know, but it's true. Oh, yes. And oh, that, yes, and may that thought humble you. Before him at the throne of grace. Why me? Why me? O blessed God, why such a wretch as I? You're still here, dear soul. You're still here on this earth, and you're still on praying ground. You're still on praying ground. And furthermore, dear soul, his goodness is this, is it not? That I said, not unto the seed of Jacob seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak in righteousness. I speak those things that are right. His goodness. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous. Well, you're not putting yourself there, are you? But sinners to repentance. Oh, yes, dear soul. Oh, how great is thy goodness that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Come then, repenting sinner, come. Oh, what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. Oh, how great is thy goodness. And why on that line of thought this word comes, you'll find it in the second chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Yes, you have a broken heart, a contrite spirit. You come confessing your sin before him at the throne of grace. Oh, here on my heart, Lord, the burden lies, and past offences pain mine eyes. You turn unto the Lord. You have turned. Oh, and you come to the Lord. Ah, yes, let's think of David again. Poor man, he'd slept, he'd fallen, he'd stumbled, he'd backslidden, he committed sin. Just like you and I have, dear soul. But you say, when he was convinced of his sin, yes, by Nathan the prophet, he didn't rise up in rebellion against it, did he? No. No, he was humbled beneath it. He was the man. He was very guilty. And he felt his guilt. And when we got there, Psalm 51, have we not? His confession and his repentance before God. We got Psalm 32 just here. Why, what is it? I acknowledge my sin unto thee, O Lord. Mine iniquity have I not hid. Yes, dear soul, you can't hide your sin. You can't hide your sin. There's a poor sinner here tonight, you know. You can't hide your sin. It's all, why, you know, it's like a boil. It's festering. Yes, and it's all, and it's got needs to be lanced. And it needs to be lanced, dear soul, with your poor prayers and mine. Oh, to come before the Lord in confession with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a heart that trembles before him. To say with David, against thee and the only my sin and done this evil in thy sight, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Yes, all this sin and iniquity. Yes, dear soul. But why, what does the psalmist say there in Psalm 130? Why, dear soul, is this, is it not? Yes, you know, he was in a sad state and position then, was he not, when he penned this? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Dear soul, yes, out of the depths. Yes, dear soul, you cry unto the Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Ah, yes, but dear soul, what did John tell us in his epistle? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear soul, yes, the Lord is very, very merciful. He will pardon, he will forgive, he will remember their sin and their iniquity no more. But you and I, dear soul, must come before him with godly sorrow and repentance in our heart. Yes, the prayer of the publican, yes, his prayer was, God be merciful to me. His confession was a sinner. Yes, his confession was a sinner. It covered everything, didn't it? Does it cover everything for you, poor soul? Regarding your sin, all your sin is named there, is it? A sinner. Yes, oh, how great is thy goodness. Because, you say, the Lord pardons, the Lord forgives. Yes, dear soul, the Lord pardons and the Lord forgives. I draw this bow at a venture. There may be one here tonight that feels verily guilty of, shall we say, some very serious backslidings. Yes, but dear soul, you know, it's down there, dear soul, on your knees and mine, before the Lord at the throne of grace. Oh, here on my heart, Lord, the burden lies. Yes, dear soul, come to the throne of grace. Get down on your knees and plead with him. Yeah. What did Jesus say? Not only this, how did he say that I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance? He also said this, all that the Father give me shall come, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his deed is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. The vilest sinner, dear soul, Paul tells us this in his epistle to the Hebrews. I think it's chapter 7 that he came, yes, dear soul, to say to the uttermost, all them that come unto God by him. To the uttermost, yes, the very, very worst of sinners. Yes, oh, do you want some evidence of it? We'll use the evidence from the Word of God. There's a dying thief on the cross at Calvary. He was one of the worst, as men may turn. But dear soul, if you and I look into our own hearts, we shall not think that he's any worse than ourselves. But you say, he came and he pleaded. Oh, and he pleaded with the Lord. And what was it? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What's the word of Jesus? I will in no wise cast out. Did the Lord cast him out? No. And dear soul, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Will he cast me out? Will he cast you out? No. Blessed be his glorious name. became, yes, to seek and to save the lost. And he doesn't, hasn't, and will not change his mind. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Oh, the goodness of the Lord. Why, and you must think of this. Oh, his loving kindness. Yea, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Oh, how great is thy goodness. You know, and back here again, in the same chapter we referred to this morning, in Exodus 33, where dear Moses again then is pleading with the Lord. Why? For himself and for the people. And why he's pleading with the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, to Moses, I will do this thing also, that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord said this, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Listen, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Yes, dear soul, I and will be gracious unto to whom I will be gracious. Yes, yes, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Why, you turn over, and Moses again commanded the Lord to go up into the mountain, there again to receive the writing of God on the tables of stone. And it reads here, and the Lord appeared, and the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, how great is thy goodness. But there's this here, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Yes, the Lord has laid up his goodness for his people. There's something very sweet here at the end of Psalm number 17. The dear psalmist, yes, David, he prays here to be saved from all his enemies. But at the end of the chapter, why he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy lightness, which thou hast laid up for them. That, you see, this is all for them that fear the Lord. Yes, all for those that fear his name, which has wrought for them. Yes. That's laid up for them. Yes, and the Lord, why, he's laid up many things. Why, here in Isaiah 64 and verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. What he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. What is it, dear David, said to us here in Psalm 23? Yes. Why, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ah, what have been prepared, which thou hast laid up, it were laid up. Yes. Oh, yes, dear soul. This thought just comes to mind. Yes, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Yes, sometimes the Lord has laid up for his people his chastening rod. And yes, and particularly for those that are disobedient to his word, to his command. What is laid up for them? What is prepared for them? Jonah. He was told what to do. Jonah was rebellious. He wasn't going to do it. I draw this bow at a venture. Somebody here rebellious? Was the hymn writer say, rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I fulfill. Yes, dear soul, but mark the way that Jonah had to walk. Let it be a warning unto us each. The Lord prepared a great fish for Jonah. Jonah's cast overboard. Yes, swallowed up by the fish. Yes, you go back to the first part of this text. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Yeah. To them that fear him. Yes, Jonah fears God. He's not been found in gracious exercise of late, has it? And that's why he's in the whale's belly. And you see, and Jonah stays there until he's humble. And it took him 3 days to get there. Oh, and he says this at last. Yet will I look once more toward thy holy temple. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry land. Yes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But oh, what a path. Yes. Which is laid up. Yes. What the Lord has laid up for his people. Yes. To bring us unto himself. Yes, to bring us unto himself. To humble us and to crumble us into the very dust of self-abasement. Well, why I've said that, I'm not sure. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up. You see, again, the Lord's people, things are laid up. Why, you think here of dear John, the gospel, and why the disciples, the Lord has told them he's going away. And they're very sad about this. But you see, he says this to them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a word for a poor, troubled sinner. Yes. The Lord says, a sorrowful sinner. Yes, the sorrows of the way. Yes, the disciples were full of sorrow at this time because the Lord was going away. Boy, you see, but he speaks so sweetly, so graciously to them. Yeah, that I go to prepare a place for you. And I will, if I go, I will come again. Which means this, he's already been and visited your soul at least once in your life. Can you go back to it? Can you remember it? Oh, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God that led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Humble thee, prove thee, know what was in thine heart, whether thou served the Lord or no. I come again and receive you. And receive you unto myself. Why me, O blessed God, why such a wretched I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? That where I am, there ye may be also. Well, the word of God tells us where he is now. Yes, the word of God tells us where he is now. He is ascended on high, and he leads captivity captive, and he receives gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Yes, dear soul, he is ascended on high, and dear soul, you say, he lives, he reigns in heaven. And there, dear soul, his goodness again, he intercedes for us with cries and groans which cannot be uttered. But, why, what do you read here in the seventh chapter, the Revelation? The angel asked John, what are these? To arrayed in white robe, and whence came they? I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He answered me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sit on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And listen, dear soul, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sighing, no more crying, no more tears. And dear soul, and there will be no more sin. Blessed be his name. There'll be no more sin. Yes. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them, which thou hast wrought for them. That trust in thee before the sons of men. Yes. Which thou hast wrought. You see, it is all, it's what the Lord has done. Nothing what you and I have done. It's all his blessed, glorious work. That glorious work of salvation that he has accomplished. Blessed be his name. Well, yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Which has wrought for them that trust in thee. Yes, dear soul, these that trust in him are the same ones that fear his name, the same ones that are born again, the Holy Spirit of God. Yes. But why there's that, how he humbled himself, which has wrought for them. Yes, he laid by his glory and came to this sin-stained earth. Yes, dear soul, to suffer, bleed and die for sinners because he loved them with an everlasting love. And we must look at this as we try to close tonight. Oh, they which thou hast wrought for them are the works of Christ. What is it the dear hymn writer says to us here in hymn number 88, I think it is, that the dear hymn writer speaks, yes, how wondrous are the works of God, displayed through all the world abroad, immensely great, immensely small, yet one strange work exceeds them all. What's this strange work? Yes, why is our, but what are seas, skies or hills, or verdant vales, gilding rails, to wonders man was born to prove, the wonders of redeeming love. Yes, the wonders of redeeming love. What thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. Dear Lord Jesus, then, having spent his life here on this earth, why, he must now begin that which is recorded of him here in Isaiah 53. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Why, yes, he comes into Gethsemane's garden. And here he begins this travail of soul. Yes, dear ladies that are born children into this world, know what travail is. Maybe some more than others, but the Lord Jesus knew what this was. And it wasn't just one, it was the whole election of grace. From Adam's day to the last day of this world, when it will be rolled together as a scroll. Why, to every elect vessel of mercy, that he bore their sin and their iniquity, travailed for their soul. Why, you see, the Bible tells us there that how he fell on his face in Gethsemane's garden and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. And we read of him going forth three times, as the hymn writer summarizes it. Thrice forward and backward he goes as though he sought some help from man. Yes, dear soul, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There it is, all you see, just a little glimpse of the sacred humanity of the blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But it is immediately covered with submission to his Father's will. Is immediately covered because of his great love unto his church, unto his people. Yes, great and small, and grasping hard, embraces all, and nor with a soul part. Yes, to the very worst of sinners this is for, that the Saviour sweat great drops of blood falling to the ground. Yes, and the word then, nevertheless, that one half of the prayer, then, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But the other half of the prayer is, oh, is his love and mercy to poor dying sinners. For this cause he came into the world, to seek and to save such lost souls. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why, here it is in Psalm number 40. And why, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Ah, dear soul, may you be led into this. Yes, to that sacred, blessed scene then in Gethsemane, where Christ is there, sweating great drops of blood fall into the ground. And oh, to hear that sigh, that cry, that prayer to his Father in heaven, and to hear this, nevertheless, not my will. Yes, oh, yes, to think that he should think upon you and I, when there in his intense sufferings, sweating as it were great drops of blood fall at the ground. He should say, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, that he should think upon us there and love us there as he has loved through all eternity. Oh, and grasping hard, embraces all and gnaw with a soul apart. Toil through life, pants through death, cries with the expiring breath, is finished complete. Oh, amazing grace. Amazing grace. Yes, which has wrought. What Christ has wrought out for the salvation of his people. Yes, he was to go to the judgment hall. There to be mocked. There to be disowned by Peter for a time. Yes. But then, you see, he was led to Calvary, where they crucified him. And you will know, I hope, that there were seven cries of Jesus on the cross. One of those cries, again, was this: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why, dear soul? Do you know why? Dear soul, it was this. Because there, Jesus, on the cross at Calvary, was dying in the sinner's place, room and stead. And God the Father, who is holy, just, cannot look upon sin but with abhorrence. And that's why, I believe, that's why, yes, he felt forsaken. Oh, the amazing grace. And yes, and as it reads there, and they gave him vinegar to drink, thirst, I thirst. Then he was to cry out. Those other cries, of what have been said to be lamentable cries. But And no doubt, my God, was a very lamentable cry. But now, there's a cry of triumph. Now there's a cry of victory. It is finished. Salvation's work was done. That's what was finished, Esau. Yeah. Finished at Calvary. The debt was paid. The sin and iniquity of his people would be remembered no more forever. And they are found redeemed by his precious blood that there is shed on Calvary's cross. Yes, what is the dear hymn writer says to us here in that well-known hymn that sometimes we sing, "Why, it is finished. Sinners, hear it. Sinners in Swavesey Chapel tonight, hear this. It is finished. Sinners, hear it. 'Tis the dying victor's cry. It is finished. Angels, bear it. Bear the joyful truth on high. It is finished. Tell it through the earth and sky. It is finished. All is over. Yes, the cup of wrath is drained. Such the truth his words discover. Thus the victory was obtained. 'Tis a victory none but Jesus could have gained. Crown the mighty conqueror, crown him. Who his people's foes are come, in the highest works enthrone him. Men and angels sound his fame. Great his glory. Jesus bears the matchless name. It is finished. Salvation's work was done. Redemption's work was done. Atonement is made. Sacrifice accepted. Blessed be his glorious name, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Well, the Lord bless his word and pardon all amiss. And oh, that you may take these things home. And be like the cattle and chew the cud. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £700.20, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman, next Lord's Day, also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. And our Oakington friends hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims and makes his goodness known. To men deserving endless pangs, he gave his only Son. 570.
Thank you.
With each and every one of us here tonight, that he will save you by his grace. Lord, it cannot be any other way. Do put forth thy hand and save each soul. We do beseech thee. Now, watch over us this night. Take us home in peace and safety. And pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt bless thy word and thy name. And thy name alone shall have all the honour, all the glory, and all the praise. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, sweet communion, the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.